I've got hold of something, and it's got hold of me. It opened up my eyes, and now I can see that the way up is down. Oh, down on bended knees. Well, humble my spirit, Lord, and have your way in me. Oh, I got a hold of something, and it's got a hold of me. Well, it opened up my eyes, and now I can see that the way up is down.
those of y'all know the story. There was a time when Brother Jerry, Brother Al, worked for my dad at the farm, and they had this. Brother Jerry had his Volkswagen Bug, early 70s model, maybe late 60s, I don't know. And they was coming to work in the ice and snow, and all of a sudden it got hit a patch of ice and spun around and ended up in the ditch. And Brother Jerry looked at Brother Al and said, "Well, here we are." And if you ever worked with Brother Jerry, which I have, that's just a normal thing, just to say something like that. Wish he was here tonight, because I got some things I'd like to tell him. One time we was painting houses. I don't know, I'm going to tell this. He's not here, but I'm going to tell it. He was painting houses, and he was on one end of the house, and I was on the other end of the house. We was both trimming out windows, and or in the eave. No, we was up both on the eave, and I heard, Michael. So I crawled down the ladder, and I walked all the way around there. I said, "What? Hey, what do you need?" He goes, "I dropped my paintbrush. Would you get it for me?" All right. Well, here you go. But there's more stories to come on that. Now, we went up to the hospital, and that's where Dad is, and I felt like he ought to be with the family tonight in the hospital. Many of them are there, and some more are coming in this evening. And went by and seen. I went in and seen Sister Elsie. I think Sister Julie and Sister Wilson and Michael came by and seen the family. And Sister Donna was there. Sister Bonnie was there. Who else came? Anybody else that I didn't mention that came up there? Oh yeah, you and Randa. I went in the same time you did. And Brookie. Yeah, y'all went in together. Dylan, came up there. And so we got to Sister Sandra was there. I don't remember when you came and gone, because she's been up there so much. You know, she was there yesterday evening, and was you there this morning when I went by there too? You know. And anyway, so you know, it just means a lot to the family. She doesn't know over there. They've got her sedated, and they want her to be sedated, to rest, to get stronger. They did an echocardiogram. They're waiting on the results of that. If everything looks good, they're going to go in and give her a colostomy, what she has. And so, you know, just keep praying for her. There was some signs of, I recall the renal doctor, there were some signs of early stages of kidney failure. The doctor was a little worried about that. So just keep praying. Although we had an encouraging report, it's very, very dire and critical situation still yet. You know, nowhere near close out of the woods. It's really, we went from really the doctor giving no hope to a long shot. You know, that's about where I kind of, the news, the way I gathered it. Went from no hope to some slim hope. And so, keep them in your prayers and on your mind often this evening, tonight, and the next day, because I think these next couple of days are really critical. But I'm just appreciative of this church, having church family like that, and having a God that puts us together, that we can draw strength from one another during times of crisis, and makes me think of more of, I want to make sure that I get all I can out of this journey that I'm on. this life and not waiting, just sitting and waiting for to see something in the magical beyond the sky. I think a post on Facebook, many of you see it, said that most people, I'm going to paraphrase it, most people miss out on a wonderful thing because they're looking for a magical rose garden in a distant dream world, and they're missing the roses right outside their window. And I believe God wants us to enjoy the journey and get everything out of it. You know, I was talking to Mom yesterday that there's so many turning points in our life, our new stages that we come to in life. First, you know, we're born. Next thing you know, we're learning how to talk. And we're going to school. Yeah, walking. Learn to walk, you know. Going to school. Becoming a teenager. Graduating. Becoming an adult. Yeah, learn to drive is a milestone. Getting married. Having a child. Watching the child grow up. Become a grandparent. Lose your grandparents, and you're like, boy, that's not, the next thing you know, you're at the stage where you lost your parents. Then you lose a spouse, or they lose you, or your friends start dying. And did you get everything out of life that you were supposed to get out of it? Did you miss anything? Did you let it just slip by? That's what it got to me thinking about, because now I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting here at a different stage. My kids have, two of them's left, and one is, he's looking out the edge of that nest and looking down around, and he's flapping his wings, and he's wanting to jump. But it ain't going to be too long that I'm going to go ahead, fly, because that's what he's supposed to do. You know, he's going to learn how to fly. And you know, I want to take the time. I want to do what Jesus said. I don't really want to have any anxiety about tomorrow, but enjoy what God has given us today. I look out, you know, I was at the coffee shop when I said there was this lady. She's waiting on her coffee. She turned around and looked at me in the sky, who was talking. And boy, they said, boy, she was staring a dagger at y'all. And I said, I don't think she even knew we were there. She said, no, she was looking. She was just looking. I said, she had a lot. That woman had a lot on her mind. She could have had a loved one up here at Baptist Hospital. She's, you know, may have been up all night just getting a cup of coffee so she can go back up there, or, you know, I don't know. I said, she wasn't looking at us. She just had me facing our direction. And I want to be what I meant by that is I want to be a beacon of hope when somebody is going through a crisis, that they just see a smile on my face and say, that guy's got, he's got something he's, that's got him, that keeps him going. And I've been guilty. I'm pretty much an overall, most of the time, pretty happy person, pretty positive. But boy, when I get down, I get down. Now I can tell you right now, I'm one of these people. It's hard to get. You gotta about help me out of the ditch. But the thing of it is that when you get in that spot when you're in the ditch and you realize you're in a ditch. And you know you need to get out of the ditch, it's still hard to get up and get out of it. It's like, I know I'm here, but I don't know if I want to get out of here, and I don't know how to get out of here. But the same quote that I read from the other about the roses is this guy said that if you think you've got to have this or that or whatever to make you happy, you're looking for some, happiness is not coming from what you have, where you live, or any external source, but happiness comes from what you think about. I know that's why Paul said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are lovely, honest, just, and pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's in Philippians, isn't that right? And I called Brother Brett this week. And I said, Brother Brett, I want you to be my help and a partner in this. I said, I want me to, when I call you, and if I got a negative vibe going on, I need you to tell me. Because I know I'm probably not happy, and I want to be happy, you know, because I got to change my thought patterns around. So I need you to help me. And I said, I'll do the same thing for you. And where two or three are gathered in my name. Sometimes it takes two. You know, it's a lonely road. You try to do it by yourself. But the Begley family used to sing a song that'd say, if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll give you a helping hand. I know the road is long and hard, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. And I always like that song that they sang as a family. And I thought, you know, if you ever picked up something, it really wasn't that heavy, but it was awkward, and somebody just go over and just help you a little bit. Is my phone ring? Hey, my phone. I have that ring tone. Plus, I've already put it on. I put it on silent. And I tell you, what I'm talking about works. One time, I got aggravated at my wife. Can you believe that? She's so sweet. How could I ever get so mad at her, right? Well, you can get aggravated at anybody if you live with them for a while. And I'm not saying she gets more aggravated with me than ever. I think she popped off something to me, and it really just rubbed me wrong, got me aggravated at her. And so, it put me in a real foul mood. You know, it really did. It made me really rank. So I got up and I just walked out of the room, and I went and said, I'm just going to take a shower. Cindy hates when I tell stories about me taking a shower. No, but while I was in there, I started saying how much I loved her and every good quality that she had, everything about her. Now, you know what? I don't know how much that helped her me doing that, but it sure helped me. It changed my attitude because my thoughts started thinking about something good. You know, every good quality about her, I started saying it. She's been a good mother to my kids. She's a good, godly woman. She's faithful. She takes care of me. She goes the extra mile and takes my clothes. When I've got them hung out ready to go before I go to the gym on the morning, she'll take them in there and press them for me. And I may think they're fine. She'll press them on me and put them on special hangers so the slacks don't slide off. We've got one of them felt hangers, you know, and I'll have it on one of them plastic ones, and I carry a plastic, you know, hanger on my slacks will slide off of that. You know, I've got a rock little. She'll take it off all of that off of there and put it on a felt hanger. And she does all those things for me. How, you know? And so after a while, I forgot about. I don't even remember what it was that she said to me that got me all mad in the first place. And you know, I believe God. That's how God, that's what Paul was trying to reiterate to us. You want to have joy. Peter said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You start applying some of these principles in your life and heart and your mind, you're going to have some joy. You're going to fill your mind up with the sweet word of truth and the principles of God, and you will and you'll have joy. It says, blessed is the man. Happy is he that findeth the law. Know what it says? I'm trying to get that scripture in mind. That being happy in the Lord, being happy knowing the wisdom of God, the principles of God. And happy is the man that finds wisdom. You know, yeah. So I just want to, I just like to just lay that out there for you as to. When you start to find yourself okay, I got the scripture I'm gonna read. Just yeah, he that keepeth the law happy, see what she said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law, and he doth meditate day and night, and he'll be planted by the trees of the river of water. I don't want to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's what I'm... Well, you get scornful, and... that your thoughts are... You're thinking wrong. You got what they call stinking thinking. If you're getting, if you're thinking about, if you're in a scornful spirit, but if you're meditating on the law, the things of God, His principles, you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, the law hinged on two things: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, whatsoever bringeth forth its fruit in season, and leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which is driven away, the wind driveth away. For the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, sinners in the congregation of righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So, y'all help me. Y'all hear? If I got some stinking thinking, you need to say, boy, it's starting to reek around here. Get something good on your mind. You ain't been thinking about the right things. Meditation on the right things will bring you happy. It'll give you delight. It'll make you prosper. It'll make you flourish like a tree planted by the water and produce all kinds of good fruit. So that's all I wanted to open up tonight. Just something to encourage us to look for the good in everything. Find the good and everything. You know, that was one thing that a lot of I hear about a lot of the elders that were here when I was a boy. Men like Brother Clyde Patton, Brother Don Patton, and Brother James Souders, and all those men that were our elders then. And you get around people who knew him, and they'll all tell you, they'll say, you know what I really liked about him? They always found something good about somebody to build up and to lift up. Now, these men were, they knew how to build a church to, because they knew how to build people up. And so I want to find the good, not just in. I want to find it in everybody. So it's good to be here tonight. Just reach out, work, touch the Lord, sing, do a poem. God bless you tonight.
Talked on Wednesday night, it got me thinking about it. I know he started off with, you know, how divorce rates are up and people switch jobs, and you know, I think that has a lot to go along with what Brother Michael was talking about our contentment and how we see where we're at. And I've actually, I don't even remember how I came about it. I heard about a book and I was looking into it, and I requested it at the library, and it was on hold for, you know, the wait on it was a while, and I finally got it just a little while ago, and I actually had it with me to read in between services, and it got me thinking on what Brother Michael was talking about. I just wanted to read a little part of it. She talks about where Paul was in Philippians 4:11 through 13. I'm going to read it out of the King James, though, on the verses, but... It says, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And she says in here, a look at Paul's life reveals how amazing these verses are. His life was full of anything but positive circumstance. He wrote them while imprisoned in a dark, dreary dungeon without sanitation, heat, or exercise equipment, elements that are part of our American prisons. He was chained to a guard. He was lonely. I am sure he wondered if all his work for Christ really mattered. Paul lived in an extremely difficult life. He was beaten almost to death, continually misunderstood, deserted by friends. Paul's life was anything but perfect and controlled. Yet he said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Paul followed his extraordinary declaration about having learned to be content in all circumstances with the secret of how. Philippians 4:13. I'm trying to find the spot that I was going to... Oh, and at the... She goes on and talks about that a little bit, but this is the part that really hit me. At all times, in all circumstances, Christ is able and willing to provide the strength we need to be content. Contentment occurs when Christ's strength is infused into my weak body, soul, and spirit. To infuse means to pour, fill, soak, or extract. Every morning when I dip my herbal tea bag into boiling water, I witness infusion. How does God enable us to be content? He infuses contentment in us through his word. As it seeps in our minds, it transforms us, just as a cup of tea gets stronger when we give it time to steep. So we become more content when we spend time in God's word and allow it to seep into our lives, transforming us to be like him. Also, like Brother Smith was talking about this morning, that's how we end up changing into a different person. I want my life to be content, that it's not necessarily the circumstances that we're in. It's the attitude that we have and the thankfulness that we have, no matter our circumstances, no matter where we're at. And I just wanted to share that.
I don't know who coined the phrase. I heard it from Brother Linger. Said your altitude is determined by your attitude. Your altitude is determined by your attitude. And so, seems to be, if we do think on just everything that's negative, it brings you down, doesn't it? But when you really realize the hope that's set before us, there's nothing else to do but look up. Well, that's not always easy to do, is it? I mean, I don't know how all y'all are, but a lot of times when I'm feeling bad, or it seems to I seem to get into quicksand. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And hard to get out of there sometimes, isn't it? It seems like the harder you try to pull yourself out, the deeper you sink sometimes in negativity and things like that. So what I've done, I've learned just stop. Stand still, And let's see what God can do. And it's a little chorus. We all know it. B flat. And that I sing I'm in my prayer closet. And I'm just singing to God. And not so much as, this song somewhat is you see yourself, but when you start looking up, you got a mighty Savior that could pull you out of quicksand, that can put your feet up on a rock. And it's just a simple chorus, but this is what I sing when I find myself undone. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse and make whole my mind. Fill me until I am overflowing. Lord, let me walk by your side. Help me out. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse and make whole my mind. Fill me until I am old. Let me walk by your side, Lord. with your Spirit. Cleanse and make whole my mind. Fill me until I am overflowing. Lord, let me walk by your side. Fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse and make whole my mind. Fill me until I am overflowing. Lord, let me walk by your side. Fill me with your Spirit. Cleanse and make whole my mind. Fill me until I am overflowing. Lord, let me walk by your side. And make whole my mind. Fill me until I am overflowing. Lord, let me walk by your side. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. My mind.
push me
Spirit.
Well, we're going to let these guys carry on as long as they need to carry on tonight. But let's all stand and thank the Lord for this wonderful move on these young people. Let's pray for Sister Elsie before we go home. Keep her in your prayers tonight, next couple of days. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. It's wonderful touch on our young people, oh God. Ask us to be with us. We leave here tonight. Help us keep our minds focused on you and on the right things.